Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Welcome to Food Fight Radio, where you can get honest and awesome opinions about food, restaurants, cooking, nutrition, and pretty much everything else that is important in life. So it's a lifestyle show. There's currently a burgeoning market of food shows that I'm pretty sure we actually pioneered. Neil Saavedra has his silly little show where he has to talk to other food people because he knows nothing about food and has to steal material from me. And then there's the new show by our fellow San Diegan, Sam the Cooking Guy, who probably knows plenty about food but seems to be keeping it to himself because last week he spent the entire time waxing on at a glacial pace about nothing but veggies. I guess it's possible that he picked up the pace after a while, but I fell asleep after about 15 minutes, so who knows? We love you, Sam. You make us sound brilliant. I like the trend, though, because we believe people should be better educated about food in general. And whether they get that info from us or whomever, we're fine with it. Neil is not wrong on his show. He's just lame. Sam has some useful tips on what I would deem to be the only side dish material. And sure, you have to try to stay awake, but it's all good info. I'm not sure I can seriously take advice from a guy who hasn't changed his look since the fifth grade. You see those glasses? Wow. But I really like that these guys are around. I'm happy about it. Makes me proud that we're that much better and know so much more about food and life and stuff. But it's awesome. You can listen to Sam Sundays at 10 on KFI, and then listen to me at 11 on KCBQ, and listen to Neil Saavedra never. See? It all works out. Let's have a clip from our good friend Sam's new cooking show.
God, Friday, when I went home, I really wanted an egg salad sandwich, and I was just obsessing about it, and I was like, man, I'm going to make one of those, So Saturday I went out and I got like a dozen eggs and I boiled them all. And then I spent probably 3 hours, like 3.5 hours making, you know, the mayonnaise and the onions and paprika and, you know, all the accoutrement. And then by the time I was done, I just really didn't feel like eating it.
I can imagine.
And I didn't have any bread. So, you know, it was pretty good. It's a good weekend.
Ooh, I dozed off for a minute there. What did I miss? No? Nothing? Wow, that's a lively show if I ever heard one, don't you think? Keep up the good work, Sam. I just love that guy. Anyway, welcome to Food Fight. Today on Food Fight, we'll be covering the craziest burger known to man. And later, we'll be talking how movies influence what we eat. Anyone see Eat, Pray, Love? And then we'll bash the worst diet tips of all time. You'll be shocked and surprised. Now, normally on this show, you'd expect like a jellyfish burger or one that's been made with fruit or topped with some kind of peanut butter or something. Maybe even one of my personal favorites, the foie gras burger. But today, it's going to get even weirder. It's a freak of a burger. And Marcus ate it. So, tucked away in a cool little English pub on Poway Road is Phileas Fogg's, a great place with a very English, very angry owner, British Brian, who we've come to love for who he is and all his foul-mouthed awesomeness. We've reviewed Phileas Fogg's before, and the food here tends to make me very, very happy. And even though we've eaten here a ton of times, and should any of you wish to meet us in person, you can just swing by Phileas Fogg's, and there's a fair chance you'll find us there. There is an item on the menu which just scares the heck out of me. It's called the Fogginator Burger, and it's a monster. It's not that it's full of weird toppings or anything. It's actually quite simple, but it's just wrong. So, so wrong. And yet, so right. It's a bacon cheeseburger with grilled onions, lettuce, and tomato, inserted between two, yes, two, grilled cheese sandwiches. Crazy? Does that sound like fun to you? Now, normally I'm not one to pawn off work onto another person, but, well, poor Marcus here is bigger than me, and quite frankly, I want to live to see 50, so I asked him to eat it. Well, maybe ask is the wrong word. Forced is more like it. No, let's just say he was compelled in an involuntary fashion to consume mankind's greatest ode to heartburn and cardiac arrest, also known as the Fogginator. Consuming this burger bad boy was an arduous task, and we took photos along the way, which you can check out on our website, But while a picture is worth a thousand words, I think Marcus's words may be worth one or two pictures. So let's hear about how Marcus experienced the Fogginator right from the horse's mouth. Marcus, how you feeling?
My gut still.
How you feeling there, buddy?
My gut is still rumbly. I've been doing anything all day. So we go to the Phillies Fogs. Love this place. I have a Perry, which is a pear cider. That was nice.
They're brilliant. They have a grapefruit cider, too. It's really, really good.
Really good. Really good. Definitely go in there and try
Low alcohol, but really, really good. You got to have like 9 of them to get a decent buzz, but yes. it definitely set the pace.
It definitely did. So started off, I had a couple of their habanero bites. So think of a jalapeno popper, but
times
better.
Times 10.
As hot as a habanero, and they chopped it all up. Fillings, bacon, cheese. It was really good. I believe I had 2 of them. Which was a bad idea before.
It was about when you started to sweat.
Yeah.
Then the burger showed up.
And I had that gut feeling when you have too much acid or too much spice. You're like, ow. And then I'm like, oh, no. First bite, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I could do this.
Oh, this is good. Great so burger. Covered with melty cheese. They put Hawaiian sweetbread on the grilled cheese sandwiches. It looked beautiful.
It was
like a multi-layered cake.
Dill relish on it, because I hate sweet relish. So, I mean, it was made with dill relish normally.
All your favorite things.
All my favorite things. I had bacon.
In one
grilled cheese sandwich.
Scary pile.
And then, you know, I'm working on it, and halfway through, I might get the gut rumbly. So, you know, when your belly's saying, stop, dude, you're good. You don't need any more calories for a week. You don't need any more food for a while. Stop.
That's about when you hit the wall.
That's kind of
that dreaded wall.
Yeah.
That's where you started it, because you started to get kind of red and watery. And it was like, that's the meat sweats. Except,
and you know,
like in your case, it's like meat and cheese sweats.
Meat and cheese. And normally people would stop here, but I'm like, well, crap, my job's on the line. I got to keep on eating. So then, you know, I pace myself. I tell everybody, no, I'm just keeping up with you guys because you're such slow eaters. But then I...
Yeah, we were like nibbling. We were nibbling and laughing.
Snickering at me, yeah.
How's that for an audience? And we had a burgeoning audience. There were people that were starting to stare.
Yeah. People came around, asked me how I'm doing, pat my back, saying, you can do it, buddy. You can do it.
You can do it. Adam Richmond style. You can do it. You can do it. The waitress coming over, giving you a peck on the cheek. That's got to be encouraging.
Yeah.
But you actually did it.
Yeah, I finished it. I'm very proud of myself. I didn't think I would be able to. But yeah, I finished it, the jalapeno bites, and an order of fries, or chips, as they call them.
Chips.
Well, that was the challenge. You have to have the burger and the chips. I had to eat the whole thing.
You know what? The sandwich didn't come with the chips. You ordered the chips.
No.
You're like, come on.
British Brian told me.
If you're doing the challenge,
you have to have the chips and the sandwich.
Okay, I should probably admit this to you now. That's not a real challenge.
What?
We made that up. There was no Fogginator challenge.
I don't understand. Show me a picture.
We tricked you.
That's not
There was no challenge there.
I had a hard time driving home. My belly hurt so much. You know
but,
when you go to a
but
buffet
you won. You,
and you gorge?
We got a picture of him eating the last bite. It's a very triumphant picture.
You know, now that you say that, yeah, there was no real parade.
Did you notice the picture of losers and winners? No Hall of Fame, no Wall of Shame?
No, I thought that was weird, but I did it anyway. Yeah, man. Oh.
And
still all
that's the sound of a defeated man.
But what's weird is when I feel better, I want another one. They're really good.
Yeah, that's some awesome looking molten cheese.
Molten
I mean, that's
cheese. That,
it's like
that was really impressive.
How many slices of cheese would you say are in that thing? Like 9?
They advertised 5.
It's a lie.
I swear there's a lot more.
That's a lie.
I think he made more for me because he knows us and he was snickering. But yeah.
Do you think it might have had anything to do with the fact that I called him like a day ahead of time and told him to make yours twice as scary?
I bet.
That may have had something to do with it. So, other tasty bites you can find at Phileas Fogg's include traditional black pudding with a modern deep fried coating. That's blood sausage. For those that aren't in the know, the best chicken wings and fish and chips in town I've ever had, and about 250 awesome imported tasty beers. Carl Strauss can suck it. Tell Brian we said hi. Just don't tick him off. And don't call him Scottish. He hates that. And now, a word from Arnold Schwarzenegger on former Mayor Bob Filner. What a sicko. So how you doing, Arnie?
Yeah, doing very good, thank you.
So have
I'm
you had any?
I have a little restaurant. Yeah.
Oh, you're doing great. Have you had any decent foie gras lately?
Ah, Claire. Pizza's at my lawn every day. Save the crickets.
save this, save that. I regret doing that, yeah. Well, but just... I did get out of California to Las Vegas and I had a great foie, a foie burger like you told me to. That was really good.
Really good, right? Aren't you kind of sorry you put the ban on those things now?
I can get whatever I want. I'm okay.
You know, that's just not fair to the rest of us. It's an evil Arnie laugh. I appreciate that. So what do you think of this whole Bob Filner thing?
It's a shame. I mean, he was a good mayor, but he couldn't keep it in his pants.
Does that sound a little familiar?
He wanted to share more than the wealth.
So it sounds like you two ought to be golfing buddies.
We're writing a book together. Memoirs of a Slimeball.
Oh, that's a perfect name.
It's a great name.
I really
name.
Like that a lot. Give him your maid's number.
And then later we're going out, but he's coming over right now. He said he wants to show me how to do a headlock. I'm going to bring my maid.
Oh, that's just filthy.
You love it.
And click. Coming up next on Food Fight Radio, we'll be discussing how food in movies changes the way you feel about food in real life. Turns out that movies are just big, long commercials for things, like wine and ravioli.
No way.
Seems like people rarely make their own decisions on anything else these days, doesn't it?
What? You're saying the general populace is brainwashed by the media?
Maybe just
That's
a scotch.
That's a crazy idea.
Maybe just... We're media. What are you talking about? We're media. If we can brainwash
movies?
People... You know what? Okay, but don't believe anyone else. We're actually giving you correct information.
We're on your side.
We're on your side, folks.
Bugs should have their own kingdom.
They should. And thanks for... bringing that up, right? Thanks. Good luck at the Bad Timing Awards, man. That's just gonna... Food Fight Radio will be right back.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Hand-tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS. Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio is a man who stepped up and clogged his arteries in the name of good radio, Chef Marcus. Chef that Marcus, everyone.
Really wasn't a challenge? I'm still a little
hurt. The sound of one person clapping. That's actually kind of sad. So, movie food. As long as there have been movies, movies have influenced our tendency to smoke, influenced what we drink. If Humphrey Bogart had whiskey on the rocks straight up, everyone in the world would be drinking whiskey on the rocks straight up.
Well, what is it called? Heineken spent almost $1 billion convincing 007 to drink Heineken as opposed to a martini shaken, not stirred.
I don't think that worked.
No, it didn't. I didn't even notice it in the movie.
How cool is James Bond drinking a cheap beer?
Well, he was at a bar, but he did in the movie, and no one cared. Beforehand, everyone cared. When the movie came up, no one even noticed.
So here's a question. Mm-hmm. So James Bond's a secret agent, right?
Yes.
He's a spy. This is a secret government agency. I'm not sure in real life spies make a lot of money. I don't think they do. I think they're living on a shoestring because I don't think they have like a massive expense account here. They're traveling the globe. They're undercover. They're trying to like wipe out the bad guys. I'm not sure these guys are rich.
I don't think they're rich, but I think they have whatever they want. But since they're trained soldiers and have been for a while, they don't want much.
All they want is a martini.
Well, you know, to get some at the bar from whoever and then to fight the bad guys.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
And a suit. Okay, these guys are walking around in $5,000 Armani suits. They're drinking a very specific type of drink. They're driving around in lovely-looking cars. The most recent was a very cool Aston Martin.
Yes.
I'm not sure that I believe that.
Oh, no, because you want to not draw attention to
yourself.
Well,
you want to blend in.
You want to blend in. You want people to not give you a second
look.
What's
the best way to blend in? Look like a putz.
Look like a putz.
You're going to look like an average
a hobo.
Putz. In like a regular shirt that came from Old Navy. That's an awesome way to blend in.
Yeah, or a hobo. No one looks at a hobo twice.
And the food. The food in these movies has always influenced our decisions in food in real life. Yes. Perfect example, Eat, Pray, Love. There was a whole thing with the ravioli thing where Julia Roberts.
Yeah, the pasta.
Never been a fan of Julia Roberts.
I'm a big fan. She's
lovely. Well, horse face, big mouth. You know, no offense.
What about it? But
no offense.
offense. Horse face, big mouth. But don't be offended by that, because it's true. But just love yourself for who you are, Julia Roberts.
Love yourself for who you are. We don't like you, but you should still love yourself just the same. The whole going to Italy and eating like real Italian food made by real Italians. That was the theme here. And food played a big role.
Yes.
In this movie. Why? Because she was upset. She was sad. She was depressed. Finally started to get a little bit self-indulgent. And what do people do when they get self-indulgent? They eat lasagna. They eat things that are full of pasta and cheese.
When you are feeling self-indulgent, people eat what? Ice cream, drink beer. Of course she went to Italy. She had the money to do it, to go travel and eat the best food she could possibly find, or she thought she could find.
And had a great time doing it. Mm-hmm. This is not something that one should wait until something cataclysmic happens in their life to spur on this kind of behavior. This is how people should be enjoying their lives all the time.
Yes, I fully agree.
But that movie changed things. I mean, can you imagine the huge, like, massive wave of business that Little Italy, just here in San Diego, experienced after that movie? These women are now, let's see, dining by themselves.
Yes.
In a weird, self-indulgent, seductive meal where they're ordering what they want and they're eating it how they want and they're eating the entire plate.
I have a couple friends that still cook in Little Italy. I talk to them all the time. They said, since that movie, women have been coming in by themselves a lot more, ordering more wine and eating more ravioli.
You need someone to actually tell you that it's okay to get something you like once in a while?
Sometimes.
So
I mean,
stupid.
Well, a lot of people are Christian. They believe they got to sacrifice everything.
Sacrificing stuff is lame.
It is, because you don't know what's going to happen when it's all over.
There could be a meteor hurtling toward Earth right now. Our Pew's ribbon things, they're not working. We're trying to raise meteor awareness here, folks.
Yeah.
And, you know, pay attention. There could be a meteor. If there's a meteor, what are you going to do right now? Well, okay, for one, you wouldn't be sitting at your desks working. And we are.
Yeah, we are.
We're working.
We could have saved Russia, but they didn't pay attention to us
when we
told them.
They weren't paying attention. So, Sideways.
Sideways.
The
wine drinking.
Okay, everyone in the world
no
has seen
Merlot.
This movie.
No more Merlot.
No more Merlot. This movie
spit.
Started a movement against Merlot.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how ticked off the makers of Merlot got after this movie?
This is one of the ancient...
And they're like, hey! There's nothing wrong with Merlot. What the? And now, okay, so I was looking up this stuff. And after that movie, because Paul Giamatti's character, Miles, he loved Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
And he spent probably about half the movie very slowly and sleepily and dopily talking about Pinot Noir. And he, of course, meets up with a girl who also likes Pinot Noir. They're talking about it. I think I fell asleep twice.
Yeah.
While they were, oh, my God, it was so boring. Otherwise, okay, it had its funny moments, but he so hated Merlot. He hated Merlot so much that his hatred of Merlot dominated, like, the whole movie. Now, people who sell Pinot Noir and Merlot, wine places.
Yes.
These places noticed a 20% increase in the amount of Pinot Noir they sold. Mm-hmm. And they noticed, like, an 80% decrease in the amount of Merlot that they sold. People are buying, they're just not buying Merlot. They come in and, you know what, don't sell me any effing Merlot.
Don't even say Merlot.
Yeah, if anyone orders Merlot, I'm leaving.
I'm originally from Sonoma, California, just next to Napa, and I've noticed the same thing. Talked to my mom, who's a manager of a winery, and she's like, yeah, Merlot sales dropped.
A lot.
You know, yeah, and no for one, no reason.
People it's who like Merlot line,
yeah.
stopped buying it.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm not supposed to drink this?
Because of a made-up character in a movie, by the way, who doesn't even drink. His real-life guy, Paul Giamatti, doesn't even really drink.
Doesn't drink.
Doesn't drink. It's a movie, folks. These are actors. And, of course, one of our very favorite chick flicks, Chocolat. Great movie.
So dreamy.
Well, I mean, even the DVD case of this movie mm-hmm. is nice because it's got like swirly melted molten chocolate swirling on the DVD case. So you watch this movie, yeah, it's a chick movie. It's got the relationship stuff. The woman is on like a, you know, she's dealing with her inner demons. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? It's a chick movie. It's got chocolate in it, which I like.
Yes.
I watched the entire movie for the chocolate, for the sweets, for the molten lava drinking chocolate that she sells. And that's pretty much like the only reason. I will fast forward through the girly parts just to get to the chocolate parts of this movie. That movie actually introduced and spurned an entire trend in chocolate, and that was adding savory spices.
Yeah, hot chili chocolate.
Things like paprika and hot chilies and doing it Aztec style.
Yeah.
And that's not like a sex thing.
No, not you know. Aztec style.
Aztec style is a chocolate.
But I'm going to look that up on Google for our listeners to research if Aztec style
Yeah, sure, why not? But it's chocolates. It's got hot chilies in it.
Hot chilies.
And it basically leaves a little burn, a little heat, a little bit of aftertaste of
and
spice.
If you believe the movie, ramps up your libido or the libido of someone who has none.
Well, I mean, we've covered food and mood.
Yeah.
Good mood foods.
Well, that was one of the big things people loved about the movie, too, is that chocolate that got the guy all interested in his wife again.
Yeah, it was like unrefined cocoa pods or something like that.
No, it was a little spicy, but yeah, I remember it.
You know, and those two are like 70, so who wants to see that anyway? Blah. But sure, it's unrefined cocoa. Cocoa is supposed to do all kinds of stuff to your blood, and it releases dopamine.
Yes.
Which makes you feel like you're in love.
Yeah.
If you eat enough of it, whoever you're eating chocolate with, you'll feel really happy toward them. Like, you'll be like, loving that person. This person's like your best friend. Or if you're together with the person that you're romantic with, or you say your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever, if you eat chocolate around these people, it will make you feel like you're in love with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's cute. It's fake. Yeah. It's not real. It's chemical.
It's chemical.
But it's still really cute.
It is. Plus, that chocolate process is alkalizing. So that guy was drinking. So if you drink a lot, you have an acidic body. If you alkalize it, you get an energy boost. So he got an energy boost, plus he got the love hormone. So it's on like
But they were
bone.
Like 70.
They were middle-aged, I think.
They're middle-aged people back then looked like they were about 70.
You're right.
So, yeah, you're probably fine.
Well, the
there.
First love scene was in the bathroom when she was scrubbing the toilet. So, I mean, that was kind of...
That one was a little weird.
That was really weird.
That was, you know what? I was not eating chocolate while I was watching this movie. Therefore, I was not happy to see this scene. But that inspired Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Chocolatier. It inspired Vosges Hot Chocolat. Vosges is spelled V-O-S-G-E. It's a French word. Mm-hmm. It's Vosges. They got the purple logo. It's very, very fancy, very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm not a fan at how thick and uninspired their covertures are. But Chihuahua, big fan. Big fan of Chihuahua. They make some awesome, spicy, weird goat cheese blends of dark chocolate. Very, very tasty. We actually covered them when we were doing the best chocolates for Valentine's Day. They're good. They have my vote. Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. The first movie... I believe it was Hershey who bought the license of Willy Wonka and threw it on some of their candies, like their Nerds and a couple of their chocolate bars.
And people bought more of them, didn't they?
More. Yeah, people
bought more. It's a fictional character,
it's
folks.
A fictional movie had nothing to
not
do with...
Not real. It doesn't make the nerds better.
No.
They're still weird little lumps of sugar that your kids are going to, like, really hate you for if you don't buy them for them.
Yeah.
Sex and the City kicked off several food trends, including... The frozen hot chocolate from Serendipity.
What is that? I've never had frozen hot chocolate. What is it like?
Well, it's not hot.
Oh,
it was never hot. It was never hot chocolate that they then froze. It's always been cold, so I think the name is kind of a lie.
So it's like a fudge pop?
No, it's like a weird chocolate slushy. Sounds not very good.
Yeah,
it's like ice milk, but it's chocolate flavored.
Huh.
It doesn't have any real chocolate in it. The makers of this stuff got all bougie afterward and started charging $10 for a cup of very terrible chocolate slush. Blech. I can't believe I paid $10 for that. I regret that. Also, Tasty Delight was done in Sex and the City. Also completely nasty.
Yeah.
You people do get that the actors are not actually eating and enjoying that thing, right?
No.
It's a fake thing. Yeah, they're actors. That might be paint. Didn't you do a cream cheese yogurt thing for that movie?
Yeah, I made a movie. I did cream cheese and strawberries. I mixed them all together so it would look like strawberry ice cream.
Yeah, but it was cream cheese and ketchup.
It was, yeah. And the guy almost yacked after he ate it, but he was a good actor. So when he was doing it on camera,
they're
it
pretending
looked like
it's
he
delicious.
Loved it.
Pretending yeah. It's delicious.
The sugar cone was actually a piece of wheat bread I flattened out in a pasta roller.
You just have to make sure that the stuff doesn't melt by the time you're finished doing all those takes.
Exactly.
And that cute little single-serving bottle of champagne called Pop, after which all the champagne started coming out in these little single-serving bottles. Do you know how expensive it is to get a good buzz off of those teeny tiny bottles?
Why would you buy a small bottle?
See what I'm saying? It's pointless. Just get the big one. Take it home. Drink it in private, like I do. And then, of course, there's Ratatouille.
Ratatouille.
One of my very favorite movies of all time propelled the rather untasty peasant dish to culinary fame. After the movie, there came all the designer versions of the veggie and cheese stew at some of the nicest places and made expensive by some very accomplished chefs. Because we know the real test of a chef is turning lame ingredients into something grand. You know who serves a really amazing ratatouille with a braised brisket and fennel reduction sauce that'll really float your boat?
Ooh, I'm hungry.
Dine in tonight. They cook fresh hot dinners every day with no pre-made stuff, no preservatives or MSG, so it's delicious and healthy. They make a different meal every day, and they deliver them right to your door at dinner time. This is not like ordering from a restaurant delivery service. They cook the food, they deliver the food, you eat the food. And they have 100 different entrees, so go ahead and try them all. They also make a grilled pork chop with summer peach sauce that'll make you start a picket line around Applebee's. And it's a chicken tequila fettuccine that will make you TP, TGI Fridays. You only pay $10 a dinner with no delivery fees, so call today. Get back your time, your money, and your life. Don't be a slave to dinner time. Call Dine In Tonight today. Call them right now, and you'll get an extra week of free dinners using promo code FOODFIGHT. You can sign up for 3 or 5 nights a week. Just call them at 888-64-MEALS or go online at www.DineIn2NITE.com. It's the biggest thing since shoving a cheeseburger in between two grilled cheese sandwiches. That's DineInTonight.com. When we come back after this quick commercial break, we'll tell you about the worst diet tips of all time. So don't go trying to run 40 blocks in the 2.5 minutes it takes to run these ads. Maybe you might be able to squeeze in 5 sit-ups, though. We'll be right back.
When our kids started school, I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through 8th grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I
remember before there was dining tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves?
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma. Are you telling stories again?
I know. But back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dining Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online and they'd bring fresh, hot, gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you and the food was always different. And suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma. That must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine in tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm Claire Katz. So, everybody who has ever been on a weird diet, raise their hands. You all raised your hands, didn't you? I can feel it. You're all out there with your hands up. Look, even my hand is up. And Marcus.
Two times.
Yep, that makes everyone. Freaky diets are what make America such a laughingstock for other countries. You know, the ones where people don't have enough food? Boy, do they hate us. And who can blame them? We're spoiled. So spoiled that we shun the perfectly good food we have in great variety all around us because we're still trying to fit into our high school pants. We could just buy bigger pants, but we don't. And worse still, we buy expensive things that are too small for us that we can't even wear until we lose 10 pounds, which, let's face it, never happens. Why do we do that? That's stupid. Ladies, you're doing stupid. Stop it. Your man likes you just fine the way you are. Trust me. Try taking your clothes off instead of piling them on. And confidence, by the way, is 10 times prettier than if you're shy and meek in ugly, baggy clothes. Try wiggling. It works for Joan on Mad Men. But if you must lose weight, don't do it the really stupid way. What's the stupid way, do you ask? We've done the research, and here they are, the stupidest ways to diet. Don't do these. Remember that one thing where you had to put a lock on the fridge at 7?
No, really?
Oprah did that one. She was like, "Oh, my kitchen closes at 7. No, I can't get in. I don't enter the kitchen after 7 p.m."
She has a personal chef, so he's sitting there with a knife stopping her from eating. That might work.
That might work.
That might work.
Won't work for me. I mean, come on. For a normal person, who's got the key, Slick? Yeah, you do. What a stupid diet.
Yep.
I'm not going to enter my kitchen after 7. What if your kid wants some milk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you go.
And he's just looking at you when you
and
open the door.
Then you're like, "Oh, that's an attractive slice of cake. It's looking at me." How about this one? Eat fat-free, because fat makes you fat.
No way. Fat-free makes you fat. All those chemicals.
Fat-free makes you fat. It's nothing but calories. Yeah, doesn't satisfy you.
It doesn't satisfy
you. It's got calories in it. You're going to eat a lot more of it. Good fat, like nuts, avocados, salmon, all the good fats in real food, protect your heart, support your overall health. So the right fats can keep you from being fat.
Because you feel satisfied. You don't eat too much.
You're not going to eat as much. You're going to be a lot more full. With less calories. Makes more sense.
So like a Fogginator a day will keep me skinny, right? If that's all I eat.
You know, I'm not sure about that one. I'm really not sure about that
one. I'm going to write a book.
We may want to. You know, you probably could.
Fogginator diet.
And you know, the stupid thing is that people would buy it and they would probably do that. That's what's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
So also that whole non-fat milk debacle, yeah. Bottom line, you need fat to be healthy. Healthy fats, eggs, yogurt, milk, fatty fish, nuts. If it's all natural, unprocessed food, and it has fat in it, that's the good for you fat.
Yes. And a third of the vitamins you need fat to be able to be absorbed into your body.
If you absorb any fat,
you're going to be in malnutrition.
Yeah, exactly. You could be eating a ton of stuff and you're not getting any nutrients out of your food. None. Know why? There was no fat in your food. Come on. How many times do we have to say this, honestly? Here's another one. Count calories.
One, two.
So stupid. Not all calories are the same, by the way. The type of calories and the quality of the calories significantly changes the effect of the calories on the body. Everyone in health knows this.
If I eat my 2,000 calories of Funyuns, that should be good, right?
You know what I'm thinking? No.
No.
I'm going to say no.
If it's just Funyuns, though. I mean, it's just like two cups of Funyuns. I mean, like,
you know there's no onion in those Funyuns.
That's why they say fun. Yeah. But they're delicious.
Like a, you know, it's not fun. They're disgusting little
onion powder on them.
It's fake onion flavor. The fake onion flavor was made by crushing up bugs, I'm sure. So 50 calories of like an orange will cause a different reaction in your body than, say, 50 calories of like cheesecake. And the quality of the calories is important. It changes.
Orange cheesecake.
Oh, that actually sounds pretty good. The chemicals, hormones, byproducts that are found within processed food, it changes the effect of the absorption. So the calories that don't contain any nutrients, also known as empty calories, that you've actually heard. People have heard that term, empty calories. What that is, it's like the calories found in French fries. There is no nutrients
Nothing. In
French fries. You're taking in calories, but you're getting zero out of it. Stop counting the stupid calories. You know why? Because you look silly punching data into your iPhone app every single time you eat a cashew. You look dumb. You just do. Avoid carbs.
That's silly.
Okay, who started this? Was it the Atkins clown?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure. Well, he didn't live too long.
No, he died of what? Over cholesterol.
Well, actually, I think it was a heart murmur, but the rumor going around was that he died of some horrible
disease. That's what it was.
Fat accumulative.
It was a murmur, but the rumor was heart disease. Now I get it.
Yeah, and people like to believe that because why? They want to demonize the guy that started this diet, and I'm actually okay with that. It was a really bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
This diet was a horrible idea, and that's probably why it took off and did as well as it did. So the excessive intake of refined carbs, there's good carbs and bad carbs. The bad carbs are the refined carbs like white bread, white rice, starch, sugar. That leads to weight gain. There is zero research suggesting that healthy carbs like whole grains, fruits, vegetables, legumes. What's a legume, Marcus?
Not a bean or a nut. That's all I've gotten so far. Peanuts or legumes.
Peanuts or legumes.
That's all I got.
There's no research to support that. The whole grains, the fruits, the vegetables, they don't negatively impact health or weight, no matter how many of them you eat. And they fill you up quicker. And they have natural nutrients and vitamins in them. In fact, a diet high in plant-based foods is associated with better overall health. Just don't go veggie on me. Then I'd have to ridicule you. Another one, eat tons of protein. That's another Atkins thing, I think. That was like a side product of the Atkins diet. Okay, well, if avoiding carbs is good, then eating tons and tons and tons of protein has to be good for you. No, why would you think that?
Why would you think that?
That's ridiculous.
Makes your body acidic. Your body uses all its water to flush out that acid. You lose weight. It's all water weight because your body's trying to stay alive.
It'll come back.
It'll come back.
It comes back a few days later.
Yeah, Yeah, you can't avoid that. That's ridiculous.
So eating tons of protein is not the key to healthy weight loss. Why? Your body needs macronutrients, protein, carbohydrates, and fat. If you focus only on protein, it will make zero sense. You not only deprive your body of fiber, antioxidants, and stuff that are found in healthy carbs, whole grains, fruits, veggies, just like we mentioned, you also run the risk of eating too much fat because what does protein have in it?
Fat.
Hey.
Delicious.
And not necessarily the good kind. You are probably eating enough protein that you need. You're getting in enough of it. You don't have to go out searching for it.
I'm going to eat a whole cow.
Okay, that actually sounds like something I might do. And I think I've been there, actually, in life. Go gluten-free to to lose weight. There is no, repeat, no scientific evidence that gluten is a particularly fattening ingredient. The problem is that people eat too many refined grains. Mm-hmm. That's stuff that's made with white flour.
I was going to say that must be a white flour. People giving up white flour, white bread, fried foods, fried this, fried that.
Of course, because they're taking in less calories.
Yeah.
They're going to see some immediate weight loss.
And they're giving up the simple carbohydrates.
But you still need gluten. You need gluten's in the natural carbs.
Yeah.
It's in the complex carbs.
Yeah, the whole grains.
If you give all those up, you're giving up also a lot of healthy stuff too. Cutting gluten can lead to deficiencies in important nutrients. Fiber, iron, B12, magnesium, all good stuff. All the stuff that keeps you healthy. Of course, the really dumb thing here is when people blame their weight on gluten when it hasn't been established that they even have a sensitivity or an intolerance. Intolerance to gluten is rare. You are not gluten intolerant. You are truth intolerant. You can't handle the truth. The truth is that we eat too much of everything. When we eat too much of a thing, we gain weight. Then we blame that thing. It's not the food's fault. It's your fault. You're the one doing this to yourself. Don't blame gluten.
I'm
gluten
cheeseburger intolerant.
Gluten can be a lot of fun.
I eat too many cheeseburgers.
You're Fogginator intolerant.
I eat too many Fogginators. I gain weight. Oh, that ruins my diet. I take that back.
Here's an awesome one. I love it when people say they eat many small meals throughout the day, and that's how they're going to maintain their weight or lose weight. Okay, going 4 or 5 or 8 hours between a normal-sized meals, it will not make your metabolism slow down. It won't. That means that eating more frequently won't make your metabolism speed up. This is a myth. Eating more frequently might help you stave off hunger, which can help you fight temptation. So if you have a problem being tempted to eat snacks, this might help a little bit, but you have to be super careful. You got to keep your meals and snacks really, really, really small.
Yeah.
Like really small. I'm talking, it will not satisfy you, small. And then at the end of the day, you know, if you've had many, many small, unsatisfying meals.
And remember what Dave the Vitamin Guy was saying, where you need a break from eating so your enzymes can go through your whole body and, as opposed to break down your food, help you heal. So if you're always eating a bunch of small meals, you never really heal.
So do you think that cavemen running around were stopping every 2 or 3 hours and having little healthy snacks?
Hold on, dude. Before we catch this mammoth, I need some berries.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten in
like
an hour.
I haven't like eaten like an hour, and I got to keep my weight down. I got to keep my metabolism up. You know, and this time, don't just give me the fatty mammoth pieces.
No.
Because I don't care whether or not my family lives through the winter. Ridiculous. So they would go days on a hunt and eat very little. Very little. Sometimes 10, 12 hours in between meals. And then, of course, they would have like one big massive meal to eat as much fresh stuff as possible once they had a successful kill.
Yeah.
And then stuff like that. That's how our bodies are made. So, I don't know. It's called the caveman diet, I think. You could also call it a paleo diet. These diets recommend too much protein. You know what? Don't eat every 2 hours. How about that? Eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you got to have a snack in between, make it a vegetable. A vegetable, a fruit, I don't know, something, cup of coffee. Caffeine's a great appetite suppressant. If you have a green tea or a coffee, it will make you feel not hungry. It will. You know how you know that?
You're not hungry.
You're not hungry. Because sometimes when you wake up to go to work, you have a cup of coffee at your house in the morning, and then you actually go to work, get some work done, you forgot to eat breakfast, and then you're not hungry till lunch. Do you know why? That's because the caffeine was suppressing your appetite that whole time. Works great. Don't feel obligated to eat a breakfast. You don't have to.
No.
So put that in your cup and sip it. Coming up next on Food Fight Radio, we'll be reviewing a really awesome new kind of restaurant in Hillcrest, San Diego. Beautiful San Diego. And we'll tell you what you can do with that waffle press. That's next on Food Fight Radio.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh!
Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata? Roast beef with Dijon sauce? Roasted red snapper? Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. And now, after much fanfare and excitement, I'll tell you what you can do with that waffle press. One, you can give yourself an interesting tattoo.
I've seen it.
It's not an attractive tattoo. It's interesting. You cannot make waffle-shaped cookies. Cookie batter does not work in a waffle press. I've checked it. You can toast nuts and sugar and cinnamon together before putting in the waffle batter. It will make a lovely caramelized sticky mess, which will of course come off because it's a nonstick surface. You cannot make brownies. You can't. It's a big gooey mess. Don't do it. You can turn gummy bears into dessert sauce or start a small kitchen fire. You can fry a very strange looking egg. You can bake cinnamon rolls and have them for breakfast instead of regular boring waffles. Get those little Pillsbury roll-out kind, stick them in there. Works great. You can make tater tot hash browns.
I'm doing that.
It's very delicious.
It sounds it.
Plus, they're cool looking. You cannot cook a cheeseburger in a waffle press. You can't do it.
No, you'd have to pre-cook it, wouldn't you?
It's just, it doesn't, don't do it. It makes the weirdest mess you've ever seen. You can make croissants. It's my take on the cronut. It's a croissant cooked in a waffle iron, and it's better. Hansel's thing takes 2 days. Mine takes 2 minutes. And the best one, you can make 4 teeny tiny round blob waffles. You just use the four corners. Blob, 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 blob. 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 Kids love that one best. It makes itty bitty little round waffles, or they look just like the frozen toaster waffles.
Oh, yeah.
Except they're tiny and they're fresh. You know, you can make tiny ham and eggs. Make itty-bitty little strips of bacon.
Nice.
It's super cute. Give them a little fork.
So you can cook bacon in a waffle press. Fork.
Well, I would. No. I wouldn't. That'd be weird. That'd be weird.
That would be weird.
Yeah. All the rest. This stuff is normal.
This is totally normal.
Bacon in your waffle. What?
What?
Why would you? No. That's just crazy. Now, on to the review. I have a special talent, folks. I can tell whether I'm going to like the food at a restaurant even before I taste it. It's a thing I've always been able to do. Sometimes I still eat there, even if I know I won't like it, just to prove to myself that I can still do that. D-Bar in Hillcrest made it easy for me to tell. The D stands for dessert. It's a dessert restaurant. This place knows that the dessert is the best part of the meal, and that sometimes you should just skip the dinner and get right to the good stuff. The place is a lovely and open, whitewashed use of space. High and airy, and you can breathe deeply the wafting smell of melted chocolate and other gooey things you just can't wait to get your hands on. Oh, they have dinner. They just don't seem to be anywhere near as obsessed with it as other places. Owner Keenan Gearhart joins us and shares his vision of sinful desserts and cocktails taking center stage in a dinner-obsessed world. I recall all the fancy dinner places where they would go to painstaking lengths for the dinner entree and employed a fussy sommelier to handpick all the pairings with expensive imported hooch, but featured a limited, sissy little card-sized list of the same desserts over and over again. The creme brulee, the tiramisu, the chocolate lava cake. If they had a bread pudding, it was a whole big deal. You could color me unimpressed. But this place is different. Sure, the dinner is tasty, but it doesn't stop there. The dessert gets the big spotlight at D-Bar. After noshing on some delectable stuffed dates and vanilla bacon shrimp poppers and lobster risotto to rival Little Italy's, we dove into dessert. Not one to shun the nerdy, we had the D equals MC squared. It's actually called that on the menu. It's a multi-level concoction of pure awesome with milk chocolate mousse, salted caramel, and tasty peanut butter crispy thingies. The churros were divine, with several gooey dipping sauces, and while normally I avoid anything made with fresh fruit while I still have room for more chocolate, I finished with the Tropical Fandango, a tart key lime custard with pineapple mango salsa and a white chocolate cream that pretty much knocked me over. Beyond enjoying my own meal, I like to observe the other diners. Here, they were surprised and happy when each new plate arrived. And one guy nearly freaked out in preemptive sugar shock when he was presented with a huge painter's palette of build-your-own sundae. This place is still a bar, though, and featuring many interesting candy-like cocktails, like the salted caramel martini, the blue star with blueberry vodka, and whiskey sour with real egg white in it. I think I started to lose my sober critic's facade at my third cocktail. Normally I'd say that salted caramel has had its day, but folks, this one had vodka in it, okay? Drinks, dinner, and dessert. That's why it's the D-Bar. One cannot help but love this place and its friendly sugar-coated owner, a man I can only refer to as Gearhart, the original Wonka-style dreamer, creating a magical chocolate garden with marshmallow clouds and candy trees. So come for the dessert, but stay for the food. You can see photos of our sugar-induced chocolate-coated coma at foodfightradio.com.
And now for your moment of clarification.
Folks, sometimes a trend really sticks around. A dumb trend. A trend no one really understands. Even those who follow it. Sometimes it's a trend that makes you look stupid, awkward, or even limits your ability to walk. I'm saying it's time to pull up your pants. I get that 20 years ago, someone thought this was cool and it stuck. But stuck for decades? That's a long life for a completely retarded way to wear perfectly fine-fitting pants, isn't it? And what's the purpose? Looking cool to other unemployable losers? Is it cool to not be able to climb stairs? Ever watch one of these idiots try to walk up a flight? They're like penguins lurching from side to side. That is, if penguins had to constantly grab their pants to keep them from falling down around their ankles. I think there once was a guy who was so proud of his new underwear that he just had to let the Calvin Klein label stick out. And, like other kinds of stupid things, this evolved into showing more and more underpants until now you have 18 inches of heart print underpinnings for all the world to see. And if you're showing any less, you're uncool. Or worse, lame. What do these morons do for a living? They're not doing much, I can tell you. Climb a ladder? No. Wait tables? Uh-uh. I don't know about you, but if I'm a meeting with a man-child who has his pants down around his knees, I'm not taking him very seriously. And good luck finding a girlfriend, unless she likes to wear her bra around her waist. That'd be a cute couple. Braless and butthead. These guys usually also travel in packs of similarly clad putzes. A whole bevy of bozos who can't chase after you for laughing at them. At least you know they're not armed. And they're always walking. Probably because they can't work the pedals, or because their license fell out. But these guys must be very relaxed, because you'll never see them in a hurry. After 20 years, you'd think designers would start making different pants to better fit these guys. 20 inches of jeans with a tight elastic top. Why not sew the underwear right into them? Would that still be cool? This is Darwinism at its finest. The dumbest of the species further hurting their chances by making it impossible to get out of the path of the charging SUV. Riddle me this. If the only other people who think you're cool are the other buttheads who keep falling downstairs, don't you think it's time to pull up your pants? Tune in next week for our friend from local awesome cupcake company Sweet Vibes, Amanda the Coffee Snob, will join us in the studio for a good old-fashioned Starbucks lynching. Also, top secret tricks for the most tender meats. And I'll tell you what you can do with that box of baking soda. All next week on your favorite food show, this is Claire Katz reminding you that smart is knowing that a tomato is fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad.
Have you heard the news? Bad things come in twos. But I never knew about the little things. Every single day in my way, someone has to pay for the little things.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.